Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Several months ago, my office received a protected disclosure from Eglin Air Force Base indicating that there was a UAP incident that required my attention. I sought a briefing regarding that episode and brought with me Congressman Burchett and Congresswoman Luna. We asked to see any of the evidence that had been taken by flight crew in this endeavor and to observe any radar signature as well as to meet with the flight crew. We were not afforded access to all of the flight crew. And initially, we were not afforded access to images and to radar. Thereafter, we had a bit of a discussion about how authorities flow in the United States of America, and we did see the image. And we did meet with one member of the flight crew who took the image.
So part of the Oversight Committee's hearing yesterday into unidentified aerial phenomena, UAPs, what everybody and their brother used to always call unidentified flying objects, UFOs. But, you know, change of the times when the aliens are actually here, we start to call them by the acronym they prefer. Because that's what you do these days. You call people by the acronym they prefer.
Are they theys?
I don't know if the aliens are theys, but the aliens apparently prefer UAP, so that's what we call them, because we don't want to offend them, because they could, you know, take us all out. So Matt Gaetz yesterday talking during the hearing with these, one guy who used to be an intelligence officer and was involved in all of this, and then two pilots, and I did not watch the hearing yesterday. I was listening to other things, but I will watch it today. Or I mean, I recorded it. I'll listen to it as I cook and do things like that. But anyway, so I didn't get all of it, but I did catch this part because this was good enough for me. This was interesting enough for me. An incident out of Eglin Air Force Base.
The image was of something that I am not able to attach to any human capability, either from the United States or from any of our adversaries. And I'm somewhat informed on the matter, having served on the Armed Services Committee for 7 years, having served on the committee that oversees DARPA and advanced technologies for several years.
You know, that's his way of saying, I saw this picture because I was not allowed to see radar or heat signatures or video, but I've seen this picture, and it took a minute to get to see this picture because people didn't understand that we actually oversee the military. You know, that was the earlier conversation. You know, we had a conversation about the way authority flows in the United States government, and he's right about that. You know, civilian oversight of the military. So he says, I've seen this picture, and I can tell you, I ain't seen nothing like that, and I've seen a lot of stuff. Because I've been in the secure facility meeting room. I've been in the SCIF. I've seen the stuff. I oversee my committee, oversees DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. You know, who's the Q is the one in the James Bond that's always making the cool stuff, right? M is the administrator and Q is the inventor.
Right.
DARPA is the American version of a bureaucracy or an agency that it's Q. That's what they do, is they build wild stuff, right? And he says, yeah, I've never seen anything like that. I cannot identify that as being coming from people. And I should know. And he says, well, so I saw this picture, and let me tell you what it looked like.
When we spoke with the flight crew, and when he showed us the photo that he'd taken, I asked why the video wasn't engaged, why we didn't have a FLIR system that worked. Here's what he said. They were out on a test mission that day over the Gulf of Mexico. And when you're on a test mission, you're supposed to have clear airspace. Not supposed to be anything that shows up. And they saw a sequence of four craft in a clear diamond formation for which there is a radar sequence that I and I alone have observed in the United States Congress.
Oh, he saw four craft in a diamond formation.
From the right, at 400 miles per hour, the Diamond Roll. All four aircraft flying as one in this graceful 360-degree rolling maneuver.
Ah, see, it's just the Blue Angels over the Gulf. I mean, no, it's not the Blue Angels. This is not the Blue Angels over the Gulf. This is something completely different. So he says, look, they get close to this object or object pattern or whatever it was, and they're doing all the filming they're supposed to do, and...
One of the pilots goes to check out that diamond formation and sees a large floating, what I can only describe as an orb. Again, like I said, not of any human capability that I'm aware of. And when he approached, he said that his radar went down. He said that his FLIR system malfunctioned and that he had to manually take this image from one of the lenses, and it was not automated in collection, as you would typically see in a test mission.
So all three processes completely disabled at that time, and at least he was able to snap a shot. Now, you know, I was talking to my wife about this. She's like, what, did he have his cell phone up there? Like, you know, like an alien selfie. And I think the way Matt describes it here, Congressman Matt Gaetz, our congressman, the way he describes it is as if, you know, you could sort of manually engage the camera system, even though the video recording through that same system had been disabled. But I think these details are not nearly as important as Matt's claim to have seen this picture that nobody else in Congress has seen. And, you know, and he says it's pretty concerning. So he's asking the folks, you know, their opinion of this incident.
How should we think about the fact that this craft that was approached by our pilot had the capability of disarming a number of the sensor and collection systems on that craft?
Well, I think this goes to that national security side, and you can go back through history of things showing up at certain areas and disabling our capabilities, which is disheartening. And for us, I mean, like I said, it completely disabled the radar on the aircraft when it tried to do it, and the only way we could see it is passively, which is how he got that image. So I think that's a concern on what are these doing, not only how do they operate, but their capabilities inside to do things like this.
You know, can I tell you that one of my favorite things about people who are in the military is they learn how to, like, understatement is not the right word because understatement is not strong enough.
You know, no, like, you're right. How are they not flipping their lid?
It's the opposite of hyperbole, right? A hyperbole is when you exaggerate something so ridiculously that it becomes, well, absurd. The opposite of hyperbole is understatement, but like I said, understatement is not enough. What was his exactly?
Things showing up at certain areas and disabling our capabilities, which is disheartening.
Disheartening. You're flying along
in the
Gulf.
The hearings were like that, too.
I know. You know, radar goes out, FLIR goes out, video goes out. One pilot's like, that's disheartening. Like, no, they're screaming, I'm sure, right?
And how should we think about four craft moving in a very clear formation, equidistant from one another, in a diamond? In all of the phenomenon, perhaps, Mr. Grave, that you've analyzed, have we ever seen multiple craft in a single formation?
Oh, I have. Wait, no, I'm sorry. I couldn't help it. When he's talking about four, you know, synchronized aircraft flying in a diamond formation, I'm thinking we have seen some of that, but again, very different from watching the Blue Angels across the beach.
I have one particular case, and that was during the gimbal incident. The recording on the AT FLIR system shows a single object that rotates. You hear the pilots refer to a fleet of objects that is not visible on the FLIR system, and that was something that I witnessed during the debrief as part of the radar data on the situational awareness page.
Oh, so we've got pilots talking about an off-camera something or other just like this. This is not the first time that anything like this has ever been seen. All right.
I would like to add, whoever congressman, there's a small bit of anger I would feel that those pilots are still facing that difficulty in reporting this topic, and they don't have the tools to be able to mitigate this issue. It just goes to show how serious this is and why this is such an important issue for our pilots and for our nation.
And that really is, you know, one of the big problems here is because there's been this historic press to not disclose because people are going to think you're crazy or they're going to mock you or it's going to hurt you on your performance reviews, harm your career. So we don't know what we haven't been told because so many people have, you know, you learn pretty quickly, oh, Fred talked about that. Fred's still, you know, a lieutenant. Okay, so we don't talk about stuff like this. And, you know, you just don't tell anybody, right? You know, so we don't know what we haven't been told.
It was stated explicitly to me by these test pilots that if you have a UAP experience, the best thing you can do for your career is forget it and not tell anyone. Because any type of reporting, either above the surface or below the surface, does have a perceived consequence to these people. And that is a culture we must change if we want to get to the truth.
Absolutely. Absolutely it has to change because we cannot learn what we don't know if we aren't told what everybody has seen. And that's been the problem. So he says, look, first thing we need to do is we need to get into a secure facility and have an open hearing that, you know, open to the people who are able to be in there. Let's tell us what you can't tell everybody else. Let's get this photo in the hands of some other people besides just my eyes. And let's try to figure out what's going on. And I agree. That's the thing. So what is it? Well, you know, I did like the clip they played at the top of the hour in Fox News, the clip where he says, you know, I think he gets asked, you know, is it extraterrestrial? And he's like, I'd prefer the term non-human. Only because... I mean, it could be from here, you know, could be the Rice's whales are doing it. You know, you don't know. There's a lot of stuff in the ocean. I mean, it could be like, you know, they're inhabiting the Sky City that, you know, weird. There's always a cloud over San Antonio.
Why are you making it worse right now, dude? Shut up. Oh, my God. I hadn't thought of that.
From a logical, scientific, keep the options open perspective. I mean, could be that, you know, they're living inside the moon or inside the center of the earth or, you know, inside your brain. I mean, who knows? Who knows? Or could be it's the Chinese. That's still a possibility. It seems to be getting less and less likely every day. So 521 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, terrifying. I'm Andrew McKay.
I can't wait for what's next. Even with higher stroke risk due to atrial fibrillation in a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Eliquis, apixaban tablets, reduces stroke risk. It's the number one cardiologist prescribed blood thinner.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without talking to your doctor, as this may increase your risk of stroke. Eliquis can cause serious and in rare cases fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or have antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or unusual bruising, or if you have tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. It may increase your bleeding risk if you take medicines such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Join Travis Thompson with Climatech of Professional Air, an American Standard heating and air conditioning independent customer care dealer in the Pensacola area, on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30. Join in as Travis discusses how you can lower your energy bill and create a healthy, comfortable home. Join him today at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, this is Andrew McKay, and it's hurricane season, and we are ready with informative, local, and dependable coverage. Our Storm Experience News team will be here for you with breaking information, including reports from both the Escambia and Santa Rosa County Emergency Operations Centers, live press conferences and interviews with officials, and comprehensive and accurate coverage, along with our TV partners at WEAR Channel 3. We'll help you through the storm. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Text alerts are a great way to stay informed and connected. They're quick, easy, and convenient.
So what are you waiting for?
Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
I get hot and thirsty riding a skateboard. Me too. This is a drop of Kool-Aid. Hey, Kool-Aid! Yeah.
Mika Martins, 25 yards away. Into the box. The Ducks may have a shot here. Pushed away. They get the second ball. Ward shot. Oh, the Ducks have scored. Jill Ward, 1-0 Netherlands.
16 minutes into the game, the Dutch drive onto the right side towards the USA goal and then get kind of thwarted, and the, you know, USA kicks the ball back out a little bit, and the Dutch player recovers it and then basically passes it to a teammate through the legs of the American defender, and then she just poof, right in the goal. There you go. 1-0 the Dutch. And it took a long time for anything else to happen, but around minute 61.
We play. The bell's ready.
Corner. USA.
Swinging ball, headed down, tied at one. She did it, Horan.
Lindsey Horan headers in the corner kick, which it actually was like the second corner because they had one just a moment prior, but it had gotten out of bounds off of the defender. So they tied it up, and as happens in soccer sometimes.
That's it. No more. Good one. Ends up 1-1.
There you go. So the Dutch and the USA in the same pool are on top of that pool now after two games each at 4 points, 4 points, and then, the others that are in that pool. So it was a big match for USA women yesterday, and they drew. You don't say tied in soccer, but it's fine, whatever. It's 5:26 here on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The Department of Justice filing paperwork asking a judge to order Texas Governor Greg Abbott to have the floating barrier in the Rio Grande removed. DOJ attorneys asked the court to have that barrier removed along with anything used to anchor it. And they're also asking that the state of Texas not install future barriers while the case is pending. A dozen people are reportedly injured after a crane collapse in Manhattan yesterday. The people injured include several workers at the site and two firefighters as well. Two people were hurt seriously. About 16 tons of concrete were on this crane for 40 stories up. When the engine caught on fire, the arm of the crane fell and hit a building across the street, and part of the arm and concrete all fell to the ground there. And then sad news breaking yesterday. Sinead O'Connor died at the age of 56. O'Connor's family confirming that in a statement to Irish media, and they say they are devastated.
I didn't know a lot about her life until I was reading the obituaries yesterday. There's a lot that happened to her. Like, you know, I think four marriages. She had her son, took his own life last year. She converted to Islam about 5 years ago. Of course, she was involved in that SNL incident where she was trying to raise awareness about child sex abuse inside the Catholic Church and ripped up the picture of the Pope in front of everybody 10 years before we all realized that, oh, yeah, that was actually happening. And they were covering it up. Wow, just a lot in her life. And, you know, well known, of course, for that song, which Prince wrote, interestingly. I didn't know that, but Prince wrote that song. But obviously she had 10 other albums and, you know, widely beloved. It was one of those. Sinead was never kind of like my artist per se.
Right.
But I noticed a lot of people on social media where this was really, really devastating news to them. So I'm so sorry for all of you. And she was 56, is that right? 56 years old?
Right, yeah. Okay. Fairly
very
young.
Very young, so, yeah, that's right. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 528 News Radio 92.3. This seemed to affect you quite a bit, Candy.
Dinka was my jam. That was one of her songs, okay, too. But yeah, she was great. I remember the Pope thing, but I remember hating her for the Pope thing,
right,
because
she
I grew up so Catholic, and
she
it was like,
banned
oh, you
from
her.
NBC, I think, because
yeah,
of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She was never allowed to be on SNL again. It was a big deal. And then people, of
and
course,
again,
recreated it as a joke. Oh, here's the real enemy. You know, but yeah.
And again, the bit of the, you don't want to be the first canary, turns out to be right about what she's protesting. Now, whether ripping up the Pope wouldn't necessarily be the way I would, raise that issue, but at least in terms of...
Well, she didn't say, hey, there's sex trafficking going on in the church.
I know,
she said, here's the real enemy.
Right,
but,
you kind of have to explain your symbol
if you want people to
get it. 529 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. What else do we have going on? So Ron DeSantis got asked if he'd be willing to be the vice president for some guy named Don Trump. Is that his name? Donnie? What, Don?
I thought they couldn't be from the same state.
They can't.
Yeah.
That's right. but still, people ask their questions. And maybe one of them wants to move, the former president could move back to New York or something. He says, nah, I don't think I would be good at it, and I'm probably, you know, more valuable doing other things, as in keeping my current job. Number two doesn't appeal to him. Some people run for president, he says, because they want a cabinet position or Veep or a TV contributorship. I'm not that. I don't want Veep. I don't want cabinet. I don't want to be a contributor. I'm running to win, which is what you say in the current situation. He says, I don't think so. I don't think I'm a number two guy. I think I'm a leader, governor of Florida. I've accomplished a lot. I think I could do more staying there than being VP, which doesn't really have any authority. He's right about that. I'm thinking I'm probably more of an executive guy. I mean, I think you want to be able to do things. That's part of the reason I got in this job, is because we have action. We're able to make things happen versus being a congressman, which he was before. And I think that's probably what I'm best suited for. So his answer is absolutely not, until, you know, the offer gets made, and, you know, we'll see. But at the moment, I would say it's a no.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Hunter Biden's attorneys and federal prosecutors have 30 days to address a judge's concerns about his plea deal, which for now is rejected. Fox's Brooke Singman.
The judge saying, quote, I have concerns about this agreement. I can't let him plea to something if he thinks he has protection from something and he doesn't. The initial deal crumbled over two sticking points, whether Hunter could face additional future charges and whether his tax crimes could be decoupled from the felony gun charge while addicted to a controlled substance.
That unsettled, Biden pleads not guilty to misdemeanor tax crimes. People who have spoken with Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell say he seems okay. He froze up and was led away from a news conference yesterday.
McConnell would return to the press conference a few minutes later and resume taking questions from reporters. A McConnell aide tells Fox News he felt lightheaded and stepped away for a moment.
Fox's Ryan Schmelz. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. I'm David Wayne for the News Radio 92.3. It is 78 degrees right now, partly cloudy skies here in Pensacola. Escambia County's public safety director admitting that staffing levels at Escambia Fire Rescue are not at 100%, but he does say they're in better shape than they were a year ago. Eric Gilmore says right now they're down about 8 people, mainly due to retirements and promotions. He says 2 firefighters recently completed the cadet program, though. They're now in fire stations. Additional help should be on the way in coming months as well.
Right now in the budget, we've got 21 additional firefighters so far approved in our budget cycle. So October 1, we can hire 21 additional more to help, you know, put some more guys in houses out in the county to help us out with staffing level.
And they're also looking for a new fire chief after Jason Cantrombone resigned last month. Gilmore says it's been a busy time for firefighters, as in just the last few weeks, they've had to deal with 9 structure fires. Senator Rick Scott says President Joe Biden's playing politics with Florida's military presence. He, along with fellow Senator Marco Rubio and Congressman Matt Gaetz, scheduled to be on a phone call with Frank Kendall, the Secretary of the Air Force, to discuss programmatic basing actions. They believe it's centered around a plan to move Air Force Special Operations Command away from Hurlburt Field to Davis-Monthan Air Force Base in Arizona.
I think moving any mission out of Okaloosa County is counter to what our vision is for the future. Certainly, it would have an immediate impact as far as, you know, the economic outfall in our locality. Changes happen, and we recognize that.
And that's Okaloosa County Commissioner Trey Goodwin, who talked with Channel 3 about the issue. On Twitter, Senator Scott said Hurlburt's mission is critical to national security and communities in Northwest Florida. Ocean temperatures off the coast of Florida on track to set a new global record.
We are racing against the clock here because these waters are hot, and corals cannot survive in really hot water.
That's Sarah Fangman with the Florida Keys National Marine Sanctuary, and she says that the hot temperatures in the water are now causing a crisis for coral reefs. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says they're working hard to save them. This week, a buoy in Manatee Bay reported ocean temperatures over 101 degrees. Good news today in the recovery of Miami-Dade's top police officer after his suicide attempt this week. Officials there say Ramirez is now in stable condition, and they say he also avoided brain injury after shooting himself in the head. Although doctors do say he will probably never regain sight in his right eye. Ramirez shot himself on Sunday, reportedly after an argument with his wife. A representative for the South Florida Police Benevolent Association says Ramirez's family is devastated, but they are all close and sticking together throughout the ordeal. 534 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. Beautiful day today with plenty of sunshine through the morning hours. 20% chance of a stray shower in the afternoon, high near 94 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 78 degrees. We're going to be seeing a very similar day for your Friday with plenty of sunshine in the morning. 20% chance of showers in the afternoon, high near 93 degrees. Stay connected to the WEAR news team. Download the WEAR TV weather app today. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
It's 78 right now. Now in Pensacola, 80 in Gulf Breeze, and 75 in Milton. Our next news at 6 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
It's that time of year again, hurricane season. News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before a storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters.
Summer season is here and Florida summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on The Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10 and an encore hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Barnes Feed Store, Pensacola Hardware, and Blue Sky Landscaping.
Have you been thinking about getting fit but don't know where to start? Why not start at Running Wild? Running Wild specializes in fitting every person to the proper shoe, apparel, and training designed for their unique needs. An essential resource to the community on all things fitness related, Running Wild takes pride in serving, teaching, and encouraging customers to reach new goals. Start your fitness journey with the experts at Running Wild in Pensacola and Fairhope. Follow on Facebook or shop online at WeRunWild.com.
News Radio Pensacola, a great blend of information from local government authorities, local news, businesses, and provocative discussions with great hosts.
Good morning, 5:37 here on News Radio 92.3. Down with the DC talk must mean it's time to talk to Mayor DC Reeves. Before we play that interview, though, just a quick note. Perry Avenue, which had been closed in both directions from Brainerd to Lloyd this morning because of a water main break, is now open southbound. So the northbound will open at 6 o'clock is what PPD is telling us, but the southbound is currently closed. Just FYI, if you're in that vicinity, you know, and if you're like, where is that even? Well, then it doesn't affect you, okay? You know, but for the people that it affects, it's important to them.
It affects me. That's my time to shine. I'm the one that does traffic.
Yeah, but it'll be over by 6 o'clock. We hope. I mean, most likely. Yesterday, I had a chance to talk to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Reeves, is that sometimes our mayor? I don't know, whatever. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
I answer to both. Thank you for having me.
I answer to both. I love that. We had a pretty long talk with Bruce Woody earlier this hour. Of course, you made the announcement yesterday that the city of Pensacola is going to basically stop doing curbside recycling until you can figure out a productive, effective, cost-effective alternative way to do it that actually does recycling. That's the gist of it, right?
Absolutely. And this was a conversation that we had started to float around even when the cost to bring recycling to the MRF was $35 a ton and the landfill was $45. And then now it's going to go to $60, potentially $75, plus a $250 fine if it's too contaminated. So it becomes a financial issue just primarily. I mean, that we would have to raise all ratepayers just to be able to continue, in my mind, to ineffectively recycle. And
yeah.
And that's not ECUA's fault. That's not that it's when you tell people that here's a second can, you can choose whether you want to efficiently recycle or not. The people who don't care to do it, it's going to become a second trash can. And that's why more and more cities are moving away from this model, that you don't just make everybody recycle and hope that they do it. And then if you get even further into the issue, it's the people that are recycling sometimes unintentionally are contaminating. Sometimes there's things that I believe Christian Wagley told me about the term wish cycling, you know, that you put a big piece of scrap metal in the recycling, hoping that it's going to be recycled, even though it can't be. And so it's just time to hit the reset button here. And let's figure out if we care about the environment, and many people in this community, including myself, do, let's have it the most effective way possible to make sure that we're doing so. Let's not just out of just a pure, you know, feeling good at the curb when we put something in, and then that's not the impact is not happening. And certainly when it's going to be an additional cost. So what do we want to do? We want to set the value of living in the city. And twice a week garbage pickup, I think, sets a lot of value of living in the city. We all know, whether it's large families or you know, even if you live by yourself and you have a few people over on the weekend, we know the value of not having a single garbage pickup and having trash sit in there for 5 and 6 days. So, you know, I think that's just going to be one more reason that, maybe a little one, but one more reason that we might have people want to live inside the city limits and be able and pay a little bit more city tax. So, I'm looking forward to this, and I look forward to working with ECUA on what the next chapter of recycling in the city is. And so we'll continue to work with Bruce and his team. And we're going to come up with some solutions here, you know, in the coming months.
And listen, I think from a how can we get there from here perspective, having a hard reset, basically, where you just stop doing recycling for a period of time, maybe 6 months, and completely break with the past, and then come back with maybe smaller cans that you pay for, that people start to pay for, that then only those people would want to do it. You know, that may be the only feasible way to get it to work. I will tell you something, I assume you've thought about this, but just, you know, because I bet you're going to get some of these comments, and if you don't, it's going on under the surface, is people are going to be some combination of resentful, angry, sad, depressed, because they will feel like they've lost their opportunity to do the good thing they like to do in recycling. And every time they have to throw a plastic milk container or, you know, cardboard in the trash, they're going to be like, you know, like, so just be aware that's what you're choosing.
Sure.
And that's, you know, I mean, I don't disagree with your decision. I'm just, you know, kind of maybe to be aware about that. Go ahead.
Absolutely.
The other thing I was going to ask you about is, and you said something interesting yesterday that piggybacks on a text that I had gotten from somebody wanting me to ask you about it. You said 90%-ish of the complaint emails or just emails that you get are about parking. Somebody texted me and said, the parking downtown is terrible. It's like living with the Nazis. I've complained about it. I just don't know what to do. It's too complicated for the seniors. I went to the tax office. I put in my card and tag number. The machine said you have 33 minutes. So I pulled out my card and went and did it in under 30 minutes. Got a ticket. They said 30 minutes were after I bought 10 minutes. It's 10 bucks. It's crazy. And just, I know that's just like one little example, but you know, that's sense from people, and you said it yesterday, people get a boot and it's devastating for the reputation of the city, even though that's not your fault. That's a red light issue, right?
Exactly. And when someone says they got charged $10, I already know it's a red light issue, because we charge 50 cents an hour first 30 minutes free in city lot. So
that's what he was saying, by the way, was that the first 30 minutes weren't free until after you bought an hour or something. Go ahead.
I see. Well, anyway, point is, look, and what I mean more specifically in that comment yesterday was 90% of my parking complaints, which is, so it's probably not 90% of all my complaints. What
oh,
I meant to
that
do,
makes
what
more
I was
sense.
Saying
okay.
was,
thank you for
within
clarifying.
Parking, 90% of them are with red lots.
Yeah.
And again, the red lots premium has no ability to enforce you to pay a ticket except for a boot. They can send you as many letters as they want, all of that, but they have no enforceability like the city does. And so what we need to accept, and even conversations I've had in passing with people that I know own private lots, is I say, guys, it doesn't really matter, you know, what your goals are, what our goals are. If we continue on this trajectory, we will erode the downtown experience. And it's especially helpless in my case because of how much pain is felt in these lots of which we have no control, you know? And so, I mean, imagine, again, you know, no one needs to feel sorry for me, but put yourself in my position when you get those emails.
Yeah.
And my daughter got booted and she was stuck there at night and
yeah.
those kinds of things. Like, I have a daughter. I don't want that for anybody, but it's also, you know, and I hate writing back. Well, sorry, did you call the lot owner? You know, I mean, because people look to you, they look to the city to solve this problem. And of course they presume that we are the czar of every one of these spaces, and we just absolutely aren't. And so, you know, I'm kind of just done accepting this idea And it's why we're bringing on a parking consultant. We're going to try to modernize what happens here, both within our lots and have better communication with private lots and try to absolve us of booting and all these other things. And because I just can't sit idly by anymore, despite the fact that it's much of this is out of my control. We got to do something.
Yeah, and no, so I agree. And that sense that it's harming the brand and the businesses need to understand that. And look, I get three kinds of comments on the parking situation downtown. The one that I get the most is we used to go downtown and we don't anymore because the parking is such a pain. The one I get is we still go downtown in spite of how much of a pain the parking is. And the third comment is we go downtown because the parking is amazing. That's a lie. I only get two kinds of comments. Question, Mayor Reeves, on the trash pickup. Somebody texted and said, can you ask the mayor if our rates will be reduced? I'm a senior, single at home, retired. It's too much to pay. Did you guys look at the possibility of having a reduced service, like a once a week, for people who don't need it that much to offset for, you know, people who don't need it? Is that a feasible alternative?
Possibly. We'll look into that. You know, one of our issues is critical mass, right? And,
yeah.
And so I mentioned that in the press. If we, let's say we were to do the opposite, we said you could pay a fee to have curbside recycling, which will ensure that if you're paying that fee, you actually want to recycle.
Yep.
Well, even that's a third loop with staffing, with trucks and all that. So anytime you go outside of a full loop of the city, so to speak,
yeah,
it becomes pretty cost heavy, you know? But certainly we can look into that.
Okay.
You know,
yeah. And I mean, if you're doing a loop and a half, I can see that. If you're doing a 1.95, maybe it's more feasible. That makes sense. Hey, totally different subject. Yeah, yeah. This, was it Damien's Lemonade? You and I talked last week about this proposal to turn the defunct gas station on Cervantes and Balin into this ice creamy type shop. And it turns out he's going to bring back Damien's Lemonade. And people are thrilled about this.
Yeah.
Other than FDOT. FDOT's got this rule in there that you can't have entrances into your parking lot within 145, I think it is, feet of a light. Of course, he's right up next to the light. And he says they're pressuring him to close one, possibly both of those. And he's right, man. I drive down Cervantes. Tops, for example, is the exact same setup. No problem. Is there anything the city can do to protect him from FDOT bullying him into losing business this way? I mean, that's how I see it.
Well, here's what I'd say from our side of it. The value case is this, regardless of a use. If we have someone that's going to better a property that's been blighted for that long,
yeah.
I used to live two blocks away from there, and I've heard from a dog park to a hair salon to, I mean, so many failed attempts at trying to get this thing up and running because it's a difficult piece. It's a former auto repair shop. It's on a very steep incline. The parking's a little tough. So what I would say is our interest is getting something that out of blight. And so whether, you know, and extra credit that it's Damien's that he's at Civic Center all the time, but nonetheless, you know, what can we do to because the argument is if we can't accommodate this, and this is going to be a barrier, how many more years is this going to be a barrier for us?
Right. Who's ever going to be able to make something out of that
absolutely.
Space?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we can, exactly. So, I mean, we've had a great relationship with FDOT. They've been very helpful to us from the airport terminal to just working with us on different issues. We're looking at potential SunTrail funding to get a mixed use path along Bayfront Parkway all the way to 3 Mile Bridge. I mean, significant things that they're working with us on. So that I don't see any issue with us, you know, reaching out to them. And in this particular case, really less about the specific user, but just more about the property being in blight and, you know, how can we best meet in the middle here to make sure that we can get this thing up for the neighborhood and for the community.
Yeah, no. And look, I understand their rules too. I understand what they're trying to accomplish, but man, it just seems like we have so many properties that look exactly like that down Cervantes. And the fact that it's, you know, the light came after the property was developed this way. And I can't imagine buying a property like that and then discovering the curb cuts you assumed you could use, you maybe shouldn't be able to use. All right. The lightning round, we always like to ask you some quick questions at the end. All right. This is a brain twister, but you ready? It's more complicated than it seems. How many holes are in a straw?
Probably not. Okay.
How many?
Two.
All right. Well, you think about it a little bit. there's a conversation.
Yeah.
That's what Candy said at first, and then she was angry at me. What athlete, you like this one, what athlete captivated you back in the day?
Oh, I mean, definitely Michael Jordan, big basketball player growing up. I mean, he was the best, still better than LeBron, for the record.
All right. Any second, because I know you're a big sports guy. Any second one? Because I think he's the iconic first answer for so many people. Any second athlete?
Yeah. I would say my favorite that isn't the A-list of that would be David Robinson. For the I was a big Spurs fan growing up.
All right, yeah.
Went to the Navy, and yeah, so, yeah, that David Robinson, I would say, would be, like, outside the icons.
Okay, no, very good. And then last thing is, are you a hand fidgeter? And if so, do you have an object you fidget with?
I would say on the average on the scale of fidgeting, but – you know what I have a lot of is those challenge coins I get now.
Oh,
a lot
yeah.
of people different in the military or Congress or whatever. That has become my mayor's office, makeshift fidgeter.
All right. Do you flip them on your fingers? You flip them, you hold them. What's your method?
Yeah, kind of a hold top and bottom and twist it around.
Okay.
That's
all right.
The,
flip it around between your fingers. I see what you're doing.
I don't have all the skill, that Andrew has.
You're not full Val Kilmer just yet. Nice. Mayor D.C. Reeves, always a pleasure, sir. Thanks so much for the time, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. 551 here on News Radio 92.3. Two holes. Come on. I expected more out of the mayor.
And not out of your co-host?
No, I don't know.
Your co-host, your board op?
No, the whole point of that particular frivolous topic was that both answers are right, neither answer is wrong. Just, you got to, the language is not meant to answer that question. And so we have a hard time answering that question. Hey, if you're thinking about selling or buying a home, possibly both, but you might be a renter thinking about it's time to move up because, good Lord, the rent. Christina Leavenworth, she's fantastic. Sold over 230 homes last year. And I know what you might think, it's a very understandable thought, is to say, I don't want to call her, she's busy. I'm not even sure that what I want to do. I just kind of want to chat with somebody. And I'm telling you what she said last week when she was on Pep Talk with Tammy Martin, was she said, no, call me. You're not wasting my time. I love to talk with people. I love to answer questions. I just love to help people. And, even if all it is helping them realize now is not the time, great. I've done a service. I like that. I love my industry, and I love talking about it with folks. She's like, look, maybe we don't do a deal, but maybe we just become friends, and maybe we do a deal in 4 years, and maybe we never do a deal. Maybe you refer a friend, and maybe you don't. It doesn't matter. No problem. Just call me. No worries. So, if you want to talk to somebody about, what makes sense and what might be possible right now, give her a call. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, they're fantastic. 723-9158.
Hey, Pensacola, Dave Ramsey here. I want to talk to you about my friends over at Gulf Coast Air Care. They've been trusted members of your community for over 25 years. Owner Todd St. Ors and his team focus on the indoor air quality side of HVAC for the people who want comfortable, healthy, and energy-efficient homes and workplaces. Gulf Coast Air Care can help you with dusty, moldy, or leaky duct systems, hot or cold rooms, and odors, and humidity issues. They test for duct leaks, and they do the repairs. If you need duct cleaning, duct repairs, or air filtration, you should call them today. Remember what Todd always says. If you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768 or visit them online at gulfcoastaircare.com. That's 850-934-2768 or gulfcoastaircare.com.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
The cost of health care is all in the news. Tune in this morning at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as ProHealth will be the guest and discussing how ProHealth medical membership programs can help you take the stress and cost out of health care. That's this morning at 10 as ProHealth is the guest on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Are you ready to kickstart your career or make a change in your current career? George Stone Technical College offers short-term, hands-on programs that equip you with industry-recognized certifications in fields that offer jobs right here in Pensacola or abroad. George Stone Technical College offers 25 different career programs and can provide you with a career in a year. George Stone offers financial aid and has grant opportunities for all students right now. To learn about all the programs, costs, and schedules, visit georgestonecollege.edu.
Hurricane season is here, and making sure you are ready is key if you need to evacuate. Evacuations typically don't have to be hundreds of miles. Having at least half a tank of gas ensures you can evacuate the necessary tens of miles to a safe, sheltering location when a storm threatens your community. Check with nearby friends and family now and have a plan in place for what to do if you are ordered to evacuate. Visit halfwayfullhalfwaythere.com to learn about more ways to be prepared.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
When hurricanes approach, no one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
And right now, we are all in very real danger.
Danger? Ha! I walk on the wild side. I laugh in the face of danger.
Whoa, higher and higher, baby. It's a living thing. It's a terrible thing to lose. It's a given thing.
The finalists for Meeting a Market Station of the Year are WXKB-FM, Fort Myers, Naples, Florida. WYOI-FM in Jackson, Mississippi. WTIB-FM, Greenville, New Bern, Washington, North Carolina. WHO-AM, Des Moines, Ames, Iowa. WNRP-AM, Mobile, Alabama, Pensacola, Florida.
I can hear the celebration across the country.
Woo! That's us!
Woo! We never say the W. I mean, at the top of the hour, you know, we always have to say it for legal ID reasons for the FCC. But News Radio, one of five finalists for a Marconi for Media Market Station of the Year across the entire country yesterday. Actually, this came out on Tuesday. So I just completely failed to talk about it yesterday. So yeah, anyway, this is cool. We'll find out in October. By the way, thank you so much, Channel 3, giving us a bunch of love all day yesterday.
Local radio station, WNRP News Radio, 92.3 FM and 1620 AM. Nominated as a finalist for the National Association of Broadcasting Marconi Award. That's for Radio Station of the Year. One of only five finalists for medium-sized markets. The Marconi Awards honor stations for overall excellence in radio. The winner will be named at an award show on October 25th in New York City.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. They've got us in the medium market category this year because they put us together with Mobile.
Right, it was a drop-down menu, so it was Mobile, yeah. Pensacola.
And historically, we were in the small market category, like kind of on our own in Pensacola. Like, it's weird. TV markets have them joined together, but radio markets have them separate. So, yeah, I'm excited. And Candy, you wrote the submission, so
I did.
Thank you. You're so good at this.
You're welcome. I lied and said the station was really good.
Oh, good. Yeah, well done. All right. By the way, you get, it's funny how in life sometimes you get the big, you know, attaboy, and then you also get the reminder that not everybody's impressed.
ECRC, Dale Nobles, Ada Clark.
This was in the
anyone else?
Transportation Planning Organization, ATMS meeting.
Santa Rosa, Z is on, as well as John Haney.
Saying hi to all the participants.
And then Andrew McKay as well. Remind me, Andrew, what organization you're with.
Media.
Boy, this is a good and a bad week for you, dude.
You know, Mike Cusack doesn't know who I am. The guy hosting the TPO meeting doesn't know who I am. I've, you know how you can feel so big and so small all at the same time?
All in one day.
That's right. David Wayne is in the newsroom. Sorry, your news is a little short here, David. Go ahead.
That's all right. The Federal Reserve no longer forecasting a recession this year. That, according to Fed Chairman Jerome Powell. After the central bank raised interest rates by a quarter of a percentage point yesterday. And three of the original Tuskegee Airmen that made U.S. aviation history in World War II honored yesterday at a ceremony at Joint Base Andrews as part of a Tuskegee Airmen exhibit at a museum in Ohio.
Very cool. Yeah, very, very cool. Media! Oh, man.
It's good to be humbled, though. It's good to be reminded, you know, that stuff. There's always, as I say, there's always new listeners to gain, always audience to grow, right?
Absolutely.
We'll be back in a minute.
Listen on air.